If you like playing in the field of possibilities and getting your information from those who really know, Conversation at the Cutting Edge is your kind of program. Host Sandy Sedgebeer speaks with teachers, speakers, scientists, and authors that are shifting perceptions about who we are and what we're capable of. Get ready to expand your awareness and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. Here's Sandy.
Hello and welcome to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm your host, Sandy Sedgebeer, and tonight I'm going to be discussing energy, that intangible and much misunderstood and often mismanaged substance that plays a silent yet critical role in every facet of our lives. My guest is gifted energy intuitive Lee Harris, whose energy forecasts and videos on energetics and other topics and tools designed to help you live life in a more expansive way have garnered almost 2 million views on YouTube. Lee is an international speaker, channeler, and a sound healer who's worked with thousands of people in personal sessions, seminars, live events, and retreats worldwide. He's the author of 2 volumes of his book, Energy Speaks, as well as numerous healing audio and video recordings on diverse topics, both metaphysical and emotional. Lee Harris, welcome.
Hi, Sandy. Lovely to be here. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on the show, Lee. So, energy. We can't feel it or touch it, but we're all aware of it on some level. So, what is it really? How would you define it? And why does it have such an enormous impact on our interactions with others?
Well, you know, in some ways, we could argue that we do feel it, couldn't we? Because I think the best way I could give you an example is to think of somebody's tone when they're speaking to you. There have been many studies done on how when you are, for example, speaking to someone on the telephone, even if you aren't really paying attention to their words, you will remember their tone and how their tone made you feel. So I think we have become a very mind-based society. We often use words as the way that we will understand each other, interact with each other. But the truth is that those words are wrapped in an energy of tone. And the one way to kind of just imagine that is there are very different ways that somebody can say, I love you. So, for example, someone can say, I love you, or someone can say, I love you. You know, it's two very different experiences around the same words. And I think energy is the same. You can see two people walking down a street, and they're both walking at the same speed in the same way down a street, but one of them looks bright or open or happy, and one of them looks depressed and down. So this energy is around all of us all of the time, and it's forming us, and we're in relationship to the energy of the world around us and the energy of other people. So it actually is driving our lives far more than most of us were ever taught to believe or understand or interpret.
You know, it's said that the kids of today are very, very highly sensitive, and they can see the energy, they know it, and they're not very tolerant. You know, they know when their parents are saying one thing and meaning another because they can read it. What do you think is happening that they have this ability and we don't seem to have it quite so much, or at least we're not aware of it?
My perception of that is really just its evolution. So, for example, you know, I'm 38 years old, and when I was a child growing up in England, I remember that everything was under the rug. People didn't really want to speak about feelings or emotions. I'm sure, obviously, there would have been pioneers at that time, but I wasn't exposed to them. And the people I was around, while they would show me love in different ways, emotions were almost a very scary topic for people to talk about. So I think it's great that the kids of today have grown up in the era that they've grown up in around communication and emotion, because it's a far freer, easier time to talk about these things. I very significantly remember when the Oprah Winfrey Show came to England, or not long after it came to England. I was 16 years old and revising for my exams, and I was watching the show, and at the time she used to do more of a forum-style show where people spoke about what was going on in their life and their feelings. And for me, as a 16-year-old kid, it was revolutionary, and it was like you know, it was food to me, because I was finally watching something where at that point a really high level of conversation about what was going on behind the scenes of people's lives and internally was taking place. So I remember there was a real lack of that back then. And if you look at now, if you look at the speed of communication, just in the last 10 years, we've gone through such a rapid change in communication. And one prime example of that is something like Facebook. Everyone who is on Facebook has a page in which they're communicating the way they feel in words or in pictures. And I just think there is such a difference now compared to when I was growing up, or people older than me were growing up, around what's acceptable to communicate. It used to be a lot more that you were supposed to not say too much and be polite and you know, be a good member of society. And that usually meant making sure you followed the rules that everyone else was following. So I think a lot of the kids these days have grown up through a kind of evolution and revolution around communication and feeling. Plus, it's such a fast time now in terms of consciousness, the speed at which everything is changing and happening, and we're a highly stimulated world compared to 20, 30 years ago again. So I think that level of stimulation primes them to have to come in and pay closer attention to what's going on around them and find their own position within it. And, you know, you see the ones who are doing that really successfully, and you see the ones who are really struggling and kind of acting out because there isn't support for them in this stimulation time, or they're not getting parenting that's loving and supporting them to open.
How did you become a teacher who teaches about energy?
I still really don't know how that happened. I mean, obviously I do know how it happened, but it still occasionally baffles me that this is what I've ended up doing, even though I'm grateful. It was a series of events. I was 22 years old, and I was on the underground train in London. And I was going through thoughts in my head, as you do, you know, you're thinking about your day ahead or what you have to do. And I had a, you know, I was very self-critical and self-judgmental of myself back then. And so as I was having these thoughts that I think were very heavy towards myself, there was this sudden introduction in my awareness of another voice that immediately contradicted something I was saying. So I can't even remember what the words were, but I remember the energy of it. And it would be something like, I would be saying, oh, well, I won't go and do that rehearsal because I won't be good enough to, you know, I won't be good enough at playing the piano. And this other voice just came in from the left and was very clearly and strongly, yes, you will, you just need to practice. And it was so foreign to me to have such an authoritative and supportive voice coming in from the left. I did have to question what was going on. At first I thought, am I losing my marbles? You know, is this schizophrenia? Because it was new, and I knew it was, I'd never heard it before. Through a series of writing questions to get this voice to give me answers so that I could test what was going on, there was just this consistency of not only support, but also insight to what was going on for me in my life. So I'd ask a question about a personal issue, and not only would it give me some support with the issue, but it would say a few things that I couldn't see or feel. So that was the beginning of me as a channeler. I then came to realize, you know, they explained, we're your guides. And, you know, after a long period of skepticism, I started doing it for friends who were open. And one of those friends happened to be a yoga teacher and a healer, and I helped her one day over coffee with something she was going through with her then partner. She came to me the next day and said, what you said yesterday helped me so much. Let me send your details out to my mailing list. So I thought, what can I lose? And I was very nervous, but I did. And I think I had 60 readings in the first 60 days. So after 2 years, I went full time. And from being a channeler, I really learned to trust and develop my own voice as an energy intuitive. So the part of me that can see and perceive energetics and use my intuition to do that, but also my own experience through my own personal self-development work and doing a lot of self-development work and tracking the patterns that we have as humans, as an empath. And that's kind of how I do it and how I fell into it. But it's been an amazing journey.
Well, Well, we hear a lot about highly sensitive people, and you said in your February energy forecast, you know, that people are feeling more than they've ever felt before. But the problem with many highly energetically sensitive people is that they don't know how to create boundaries so that they're not affected by others' chaotic energies. How would we create boundaries?
Well, and this is a really good topic, and it's a really big topic, but I'll try and address a few simple points about this. So if you think of times in your life, particularly going back to your earlier life, where certain traumatic things happened to you. So, for example, let's say, Sandy, you ran up to your dad and you showed your dad this painting that you'd done for him, and you were all pleased with yourself because you thought he was going to love this painting. But unbeknownst to you, you had done this painting on over his own favorite canvas, you know, which you as a child didn't think twice about. And so he hits the roof and he starts having a go at you and tells you you've done something really bad and shouts at you. That will impact you. So that goes into your body. Him shouting at you, him sending his anger at you, especially when you're tiny, goes into your body and creates an imprint. So then you might experience several things. You might be scared to give someone a gift that you feel an impulse to do. You might stifle your own creativity or your own art because you're trying to protect yourself from experiencing that hurt again. This is how we work. We're always trying to protect ourselves from a repeated wound. So the problem for a lot of highly sensitive people is they've felt so wounded by so many things because they tend to feel them very deeply. And they can often start, after a period of time, to feel terrified to be in a room with other people because they don't know how to filter these things in and out. So with the incident that I gave you an example of, if you had gone through that, Sandy, if at some point later in your life you clocked it and you either through working with a healer or going to a seminar or reading a book where you had an epiphany and you allowed yourself to go back to that time in your body and feel the emotions that you'd felt at the time, forgive your father because you knew he was doing the best he could. It doesn't mean you have to like what he did or approve of what he did, but to let go of being his victim and to actually allow your own body to fill in the dent, if you like, that he put in you in that moment. Then what you have is a whole new energy template in your body. So you would no longer be susceptible to that kind of anger energy. Whereas if you didn't take care of the trauma from the past, you would forever be highly sensitive to anybody being angry at you, anybody slightly shouting at you, because it would trigger the old wound. So step one for highly sensitive people or any people is we have to, I call it reclaiming our inner body. Because if you can reclaim your inner body of all of the dents that you may have incurred either in childhood or in a terrible breakup that happened a few years ago or anything in your life that was traumatic for you, then what you start to do is you have more space inside yourself. The other side for highly sensitive people and for all of us is boundaries. So boundaries are something that you do have to learn to set. The irony for me when I was doing a channel once that was talking about opening your heart was one of the key lines, and this was almost 10 years ago, was in order to truly open your heart, you have to learn your boundary, which of course seems so contradictory because of course lots of spiritual people will say, well, I just want to be open to everything. And I have seen time and time and time again in my own life and in the lives of others that there is a stage that you go through where you set boundaries to other people in your life. So if you have a friend who's highly critical and they constantly criticize you every time you go to see them, there comes a point when you have to stop that happening. You have to either make a statement or very boldly address it with them and ask them to change their behavior. And you can do that in very compassionate ways. You know, you can say, I would really like you to not criticize me every time we meet. And the friend might be defensive and say, well, I'm not, I'm just being me. And then you can reply by saying, I understand, but it actually hurts me. It's difficult for me that every time I see you, you criticize my appearance. So I would really like you to not do that in the future in our friendship. Can you do that for me? So you can do these things in peaceful ways. And what I've noticed is once you set your boundary a few times with a few people, you then no longer emit a frequency that attracts the same energy coming at you. So you don't really have to do it for the rest of your life. There might be isolated incidences. So what I've noticed with highly sensitive people is the key is working with them on the trauma that they're already experiencing from their life, and then working with them on asserting their boundaries in a way that they feel safe to go back out into the world and be centered in the world without feeling invaded or traumatized by everyone else.
Lee, that's a really interesting explanation. I've heard it said before, but not quite in the same way about the frequencies that we carry with that. We have to go to a break now, so we'll be back in a few moments. I'm talking to Lee Harris, and we are speaking about energy and the impact that it has on our lives and how we can tell when others' energy is going to be, is interfering with our own. So we'll be back in a few moments, and when we do, Lee will share some simple but powerful exercises to help us become masterful at listening when energy speaks to us. Stay tuned.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What is the first step for you personally to finally make the shift you have been seeking? Find out right now by connecting with us on Facebook and on Twitter. My Vivid Life. Well, it's a state of being, complete well-being. Get there today with daily inspiration right to your inbox.
You cannot separate who you are and what you do from how you interact with the world. Marketing was never meant to be slick and soulless. If you're looking to build your personal or business profile and platform and connect with the audience that resonates with you and your message, visit www.sandysedgebeer.com and discover what 30-plus years of applying the science of resonance in international publishing, marketing, and conscious business development can do.
Celebrate!
Are you ready to do something completely amazing for yourself? Spend a weekend with some of the world's most renowned and powerful spiritual teachers? Nourish your soul, enrich your life, honor your spirit, and celebrate you at a Celebrate Your Life conference. Attend powerful, life-changing workshops that will bring you more love, healing, and transformation than you can possibly imagine. Register now. Visit www.celebrateyourlife.org. That's www.celebrateyourlife.org.
Vivid Life Radio connects you with the most current, optimistic, and inspiring information on the planet. Get ready to open your mind, heal your heart, and start living your ultimate life. Go to vividlife.me, that's vividlife.me, for more details on our upcoming broadcast with the world's brightest minds sharing wisdom to uplift your spirit.
Welcome back to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with energy intuitive author, channeler, and teacher Lee Harris about the many ways that energy speaks to us and affects us. Lee, during the break, you were mentioning something about, you know, words, how our words, the energy of our words impact others. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, and the energy of our words impacting others and also our own life. So, for example, Sandy, if you were saying to me, hey, Lee, let's go over here and let's, why don't you and I go to this, competition, and we'll both enter this competition. Now, I could be open to the competition and say, oh, great, let's go. Or I could say, we'll go, Sandy, but I'm not very good at this. Now, as soon as I tell you and I tell myself I'm not very good at this, I've immediately blocked myself from being good at it. We do this all the time. We make statements about ourselves that are historic, and we forget that by boxing ourselves in with our own words or by affirming words that we believe to someone else, we can box them in. So you see this all the time with family members and partners. one partner or a member of a family will say, oh yeah, I'd love to try that. And then immediately the partner or the family member will jump in and go, well, you're not good at that. Remember last time you did that, you got upset. So it's almost like the family or the partner want to hold, everyone wants to stay where they are. It's like people are afraid often of change, even though we say we want it. So you see in the kind of codependency that can exist in family or partners, people holding each other in the same place in relationships. So it's really good to try and track the words that come out of your mouth, both towards other people, but also towards yourself. And conversely, using your words to create change in your life. So, you know, if you're really wanting to bring a greater level of abundance into your life and it's a struggle, I always say, write it on a piece of paper. I will bring great abundance into my life this year, and stick it on the wall. Masaru Emoto's work that showed the effect of certain words on the molecular structure of water. So if a loving word is placed on the side of a glass of water, the crystals all look like beautiful mandalas in the molecules. If a negative or a destructive word like hate is put onto the water, all of the molecular structure of the water looks distorted and it isn't symmetrical. So if you think of that in your room, if you think of something stuck on your wall with a positive vibration around what you're trying to bring into your life, not only does you seeing it help you to reprogram your mind, and that's why you put it somewhere visible, but it also affects the energy of the room that you're walking around every day. So if you don't know how to make something happen, but you want something to happen, you can put it on the wall and it will really help enhance everything.
You know, someone once told me, they said something about every time you might someone get angry in traffic if someone cuts them up and they swear or call somebody an asshole or whatever it is they call them, you know, if you visualize that person that they've just called that name driving around with a cowpat on their head, you know, you'd see a gazillion cowpats on people's heads. That's actually what we are doing to people when we send that kind of energy towards them.
And you know what? The most important thing for all of us is if we do find ourselves being angry, we shouldn't judge ourselves for the anger, but we should say, where did that come from? Because, for example, I know many people who use road rage as a way of expressing their unexpressed emotion. Now, if you're doing that consciously, you know, if I was driving with you and you're going, oh, Lee, I just love getting angry at everyone. This is how I vent my spleen. And you know what you're doing. I'm like, okay, that's one thing. But a lot of people are not even aware that they're doing it as a release valve from their bad day at work. So they're spreading that energy around, and it's not good for them. It's, you know, it's not a very conscious experience for them either. So
there's so much to say about energy, Lee. We don't have as much time as I would love to spend talking about this with you. But before we wrap up the show, if there was one specific tool or exercise that you could share with our listeners today that could help with some of the most common problems we have with energy, what would it be?
Limiting yourself because of the other people you're connected to. So what are the energy agreements you have in your relationships? So if you and your spouse have an energy agreement that the two of you will never do anything too bold, what if one day you want to be bold? Your spouse might try and hold you back. So become conscious of what is in every energy agreement that you have with another person. So an exercise you can do is think about a place where you feel stuck with another person and ask yourself, who, what, why, when? Who does this remind me of? What is going on? Why am I agreeing to this? And when did this first show up in my life? Who, what, why, when? Whenever you're looking at any relationship that you think needs to be more expanded in your life, and it will help you dig into the history and create something new.
Thank you for that, Lee. And finally, can you tell our listeners where they can get more information about you and also what events you have coming up that might appeal to someone listening?
Yes, I'm doing an energy mastery retreat in Colorado in the middle of April, and that will be a 3-day immersion into energy experiences. It's limited to 27 participants, and we do still have a few places left. And you can find me at my website, which is leeharrisenergy.com, or you can subscribe to my YouTube channel, where we're about to start releasing standalone helpful energy tip videos. That is Lee Harris Energy channel on YouTube.
Lee Harris, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, and thanks to the listeners.
Bye-bye, Lee.
Bye, Sandy.
That brings us to the end of this particular show. Next week, I'll be playing Out on the Edge, exploring alternate realities, parallel worlds, and quantum weirdness with best-selling author, researcher, and transformational speaker, Cynthia Sue Larson, whose latest book, Quantum Jumps, describes the science of instantaneous transformation emerging from the convergence of recent research findings in physics, biology, and psychology. If you wish to connect with me in the meantime and learn more about the services I offer in applying the science of resonance for personal and business success, or would like some coaching on how to put the alchemy back into your life, your relationships, and your dreams, visit my website at sedgebeer.com, where you can also sign up for my News from the Edge newsletter. And you can also connect with me on Facebook at Sandy Sedgebeer and Twitter at Sandy Sedge. The theme tune for this show is from an original song called Searching, Grammy Award-winning producer, composer, and musician Barry Goldstein. Thank you for being with me today, and for details of future shows or archives, log on to vividlife.me. And in the meantime, I look forward to being with you at the same time next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Conversation at the Cutting Edge, where scientists, researchers, authors, and teachers working at the leading edge meet. For conversations that aim to shift your perceptions about who you are, why you're here, and what you can achieve when you open your mind, expand your awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. Join us next week, same time, with your host, Sandy Sedgebeer, for another conversation at the Cutting Edge. You cannot separate who you are and what you do from how you interact with the world. Marketing was never meant to be slick and soulless. If you're looking to build your personal or business profile and platform and connect with the audience that resonates with you and your message, visit www.sandysedgebeer.com and discover what 30-plus years of applying the science of resonance in international publishing, marketing, and conscious business development can do.
Vivid Life Radio connects you with the most current, optimistic, and inspiring information on the planet. Get ready to open your mind, heal your heart, and start living your ultimate life. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for more details on our upcoming broadcast with the world's brightest minds sharing wisdom to uplift your spirit.
Thank you very much, Liz.